not be taken seriously. Okay, so we did we're in Sefer HaLeshon, in the fifth perek, as I said, one of the most crucial ones. The topic of the days of love and the days of hate and Yeush. Last time we saw the quote from Rabbeinu Tam, who spoke about how to combat those high days and those low days. And now we're moving on to the next section within the same chapter. If a person has a strong Yetzer Hara, and that strong Yetzer Hara attacks him, there's a natural tendency for a person to equate that state that he has at that moment of having fallen with his identity and with his essence and say, am I good or am I not good? And he looks at it in a very black and white way. And he says, at any given moment, I'm going to judge if I'm good or I'm not good by how I am at that moment. And then a person who could be pure and learning well and davening with kavana and growing Yiret Shamayim, and then he falls once in the trap of the Yetzer Hara, he suddenly says, you see, it was all fake, and it was all not real, and it's all not worth anything. And whoa, 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 why did you make that assumption? Yes, it's true that you fell. And it's true that there is a chiyuv to do tshuva. But why does that uproot everything else that you've built and that you've done? It's not a pack of cards. It's not a pack of cards. If you're building a house of cards, then you build and 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 you put a lot of effort. And if at one moment someone touches the bottom card, the whole thing collapses, then it really is true that, you know, you fell once and the whole thing becomes worthless. But that's not how it works in Avodas Hashem. In Avodas Hashem, if you build and you build and you build and you build, that stays intact. It's like Lahavdil, right? It's like, imagine that you're, let's say you're learning for SATs, right? And you have some app where it has questions where you can answer, and you answer and you answer, and you go up a level, and you go up a level, and you go up a level. I know I could do the same thing with a game, but I didn't want to go this. I did it with like a learning of SATs, and same thing though with a game. And you get to a new level, a new level, a new level, right? And then what happens? And then you, by mistake, in the middle of a game, right? So you the phone rings and you answer the phone, and then when you come back to the phone, then it's not in the game anymore. So where is it? I don't know, I have to open the app again. And when you open the app again, what's going to happen? So you'll go back to whatever level you were at. Maybe the little bit of extra gain that you were in the middle of a such and such a level, maybe that you won't get. You know, that minute you'll lose. But whatever level you got to level 4, part 8, that's still going. That still counts. So it's a mistake, and it's a false mistake, which the mistake itself, like we've mentioned many times in Musa Seder, that a lot of Avodas Hashem is just recognizing the Torah Hashkafa. And a lot of hardships are because you misread what Hashem's way is. And if you would understand how Hashem's way works, then you wouldn't have most of the hardship you would have. So a false view that people have is that if they're building Avodas Hashem, and then they fall in a certain area, and they fall in the Yetzer Hara, a false mistake is, it's all worthless. Everything I did doesn't count for anything. I'm not worth a penny, I'm not worth a dime, a nickel, I'm not worth anything. An agora, I'm not worth anything. Why? Because I fell. So what if you fell? Do tshuva on the fact that you fell, but the level that you gained still remains intact. You don't lose the level. I cannot emphasize this point enough. Because people feel like they're worthless. And then what happens is that it becomes, to some degree, a prophecy that they fulfill. They say, you see, I fell. So who am I worth to get up for shacharis the next day? Ma kesher! What is the connection between the fact that you fell one day and you're davening shacharis the next day? You davened shacharis yesterday and you can daven shacharis today. And your level is still the same level. Yes, you fell. Yes, you have to do tshuva. Beseder, that stands in a box by itself. But the growth that you have and the level that you've reached remains intact and continues to grow. So put that aveira in a box. Do tshuva on the aveira. But who you are and your growth that you're at remains. Your level remains. So he says that when the Yetzer Hara attacks, one of the main tricks of the Yetzer Hara and what he's aiming for isn't the aveira itself, but it's the mindset that he gets you into after having done the Avera. That's his big game. That's his real win. His real win isn't the Avera that you do. His real win is the getting you to think that you're worthless now. So that you'll then give up all avodas Hashem, and you'll say, "Oh, what's everything else worth?" Ein lehitya'esh or lehitatzben, says the Alei Shor. Do not give up hope. Do not get frustrated about it. It's possible that dafka, when you see the Yetzirah attacking, that's where you can learn exactly where you need to focus on for your growth in avodas Hashem. That's where you can learn what you're destined for. And I love this. I love this mashal. I really love this mashal. And I've said it many times before, but I'll say it many more times in the future too, because I love it. There's a game in America, maybe in England too, where you have two teams. And there's a secret place which you have to reach, and you have to grab a flag of someone. And you don't know exactly where that flag is. But all you know is you're outdoors and you're running around. How do you know when you get close to their base of the enemy team? How do you know? How do you know? Suddenly everyone jumps on you, and everyone's shooting at you, and everyone's surrounding you, and everyone's defending. And you say, "Oh, this is a good place to be now. I know I've hit the target." If you weren't sure where you needed to be in the game until now, where suddenly boom, 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 and everyone's jumping and attacking. Now you know you've reached a really important point for the enemy. Because you know that's where they don't want you to be. That's exactly how it works with the Yetzirah. When you're building an avodas Hashem, and you're growing, and you're coming closer to Hashem, and you reach a point where there's actually almost like an opening of coming close to Hashem of a new level. The Yetzer Hara at that point is going to say, "I don't want you here. I don't want you to get to the next level." And he's going to focus all of his armor, all of his defense. He's going to focus on that moment. And if you're aware of that, then instead of saying, "Oh, there's a little bit of friction here. I'm going to be polite and step back." Rather, you're going to say, "I'm playing to win." And if I suddenly see that everyone's defending a particular area and everyone's shooting at me exactly at that spot, then I'm going to charge in because I know that's exactly the place that I need to be. So if you're davening and you're davening with a level of kavana, and suddenly out of nowhere, you don't know where it came from, an inappropriate thought jumps to you. So the wrong move would be to say, "Oh, a bad thought came to me. There we go. That proves that all my kavanah is not worth anything and I'm worthless," and then just to give up the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. Which is exactly the trick of the Yetzer Hara. His goal wasn't to get you to think that thought. His goal was to get you to think that you're worthless, because look what kind of thought came to you. Ah, you see you're not worth anything, and then give up on the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. Because he knew putting you down was by hitting you in a certain area, which makes you believe about yourself that you're not worth anything, and then you knock yourself down. You're much more powerful than he is. But if you're aware that that's his trick, it's not worth anything. Once you become aware that's his method, that's the beauty of the Yetzer Hara. That if you learn the methods the Yetzer Hara uses, I don't know if you have you ever played, when I was a kid, I used to have a real chessboard, that you would set up all your pieces. I'm an only child, right? So it was very boring and lonely at home. So I had this chessboard where you played against the chessboard, like a computer, but before computers, a chessboard, and you would set up all your whites and his blacks. And then you would press on what you wanted to move. And then you would press it down where you wanted to move it to. And then the chessboard would know where you'd moved. And then he would do these two red lights, which would show you which piece he wanted you to move. And you would press to acknowledge. And then you would move. And then he would do two other red lights where he wanted to move it to. And I would play against this board. And now the problem with this board was that he was programmed. So if I did a certain move, then he did a certain move. And even if I would go back, he would always go back to his move, because he's programmed that if this is the whole setup of the whole board, this is what he does. So there was no concept of me like annoying him that he would have to do something different. Even though there's a rule that you can't do that more than 3 times. But there was no concept of that because he was just programmed. That's how he did it. The Yetzer Hara is just programmed. Right? And if you understand his mechanisms and how he works, then he's no longer as powerful. If you don't understand how he works, it's your first time ever fighting the Yetzer Hara in this area, then he has some basic tricks which he uses which knock down most people. It's like sales. There are certain tricks in sales which the salespeople use in order to get you to buy their... Now, if you're aware of the tricks they use, not only does it not work on you, but it's almost amusing. Just someone phoned me the other day, because someone who I know who works in sales, they sent a commercial or something, and then I phoned them about something else, but then they asked me, "Oh, did you get the thing? Was it good?" So I said, "Well, I'm not a good person to judge because I'm really, really interested in this topic. And I read up a lot about it. So whenever I see any commercial, all I think to myself is, Oh, they're using an embedded command. That's the trick they're using this time. Ah, they're using future pacing. I see it there. So I don't like, it doesn't, I don't acknowledge what they're trying to say, because all I'm doing is noticing which trick they're trying to use in their sales methods, right? So when the Yetzer Hara tries to attack, that's one of the reasons, by the way, why I learn these things. Because the Yetzer Hara uses these things as well. And when you're aware of which trick he's using, then it doesn't have that same effect on you, because you're aware, oh, that's his trick. Okay, fine. Now I recognize that's what he's using. It's fine. It's a joke. It's a joke. Oh, you're trying to pull that one on me? I know that one. That's not a big deal. When the Yetzer Hara hits you, when you're in a good davening, or a good anything, good learning, good Avodas Hashem, good Chesed, whatever you're involved in, and suddenly out of nowhere, and this is how you can tell that it's the Yetzer Hara, because like, what was the context? Like, where did that come from? It was like out of nowhere. When that type of Yetzer Hara comes to you, where out of nowhere, you don't know where it came from, suddenly you have this desire to do something. You suddenly have a desire to go and hit someone. You suddenly desire to look at something inappropriate. Suddenly out of nowhere to do Bittul Torah, but out of nowhere, no context. Like if you were stuck on a sugya for a long time and you don't know what's going on, and then you have this urge to like take a break, that's not the Yetzer Hara. That's understandable. Like it's overwhelming for you, you want to take a little break. But if everything's going well, you're learning well, you're in the middle of the sugya, and suddenly you feel, I just need to get out of the message. Like just out of nowhere, you feel this. So that's clearly the Yetzer Hara identifying that you're on a good flow. You're learning well, and he wants to stop you. And he wants to stop you because he sees you're reaching a new level. If you're not aware that's the Yetzer Hara, you'll say, where did that thought come from? I can't believe that thought came from me. That's such a base thought to think. Like, how could I think such an inappropriate thing? That means I'm worthless. The Yetzer Hara says, yes, good, fantastic. Who cares if he thinks the negative thing or not? The fact that he thinks about himself that he's worthless, that's exactly what I wanted to get him to. Now he won't continue learning, and he won't reach the next level that he's trying to get to. If you recognize that's his trick and that's what he's trying to do, it doesn't have that power on you anymore. Embedded command, I saw it coming. I didn't see it coming, but now you did it, though I recognize that's what you're doing, and it's not going to have that effect on me anymore. If you're aware of the trick, so this is the trick particularly here that he's talking about the Yetzer Hara. That when everything's going well and you feel you're growing in Avodas Hashem, and out of nowhere, like you can't connect to any logical place where suddenly you have a desire to do or look at or think of something inappropriate, then instead of following the Yetzer Hara's programming, what he's trying to program you to do, where you think that you're worthless and therefore give up, which was the wrong move, or what he was trying to maneuver you into, but you're not going to do that because you're an Alisha. So you say to the Yetzer Hara, I've read your handbook, Yetzer Hara, you know, it's not going to affect me now. So you're aware that's what he's doing, and you'll say, okay, you're doing that move that the Yetzer Hara, that the Alisha says on page Lamed Hey, okay, I know that, very good, and you'll ignore him. And actually, not only will you ignore him, but you'll say, you have helped me, Yetzer Hara, because you've made me aware that I'm in a growth spurt now. And you've made me aware that I'm about to catch the flak. And you've made me aware that I'm at the moment where I'm about to make a breakthrough and reach a higher level. So I'm definitely gonna push harder now. I'm definitely gonna have kavana at this point on a higher level because I realize this is what you're trying to do. There was once upon a time Zoom Shirium that took place. And until they figured out how the whole thing works, there were inappropriate people who jumped into them, busted into them, and put up pictures that were inappropriate. And you know that if that happens, right? I don't know what the mindset behind people doing it is. I'm not judging that. But if the Yetzer Hara or HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a broader level enables such a thing to happen, then what's happening essentially, like from a deeper level, is these Torah Shirim that are taking place are bringing Kedusha and Torah to the world, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves and is happy about. But he wants to test us to see, are we willing to push through? So the kind of person who would say, oh look, an inappropriate image came up, so forget it, it's not for me, and then gives up from what learning Torah, or from continuing to watch Shirim, then he fell. But what the Yetzer Hara is doing by enabling that to happen is saying, Jews, I tried to stop you from learning Torah. I divided you up and removed you from the Beis HaMedrash. But you're carrying on learning, and you're carrying on joining together by learning through Zoom, Torah and Torah and Torah. I have to stop it because this is the entry place to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is where you're showing Hashem that you're devoted to Torah learning, even when all the natural way of learning has been cancelled. And you're still pushing through and learning Torah on Zoom. Dafka there, the Yetzer Hara will come out of nowhere and send you something inappropriate. And if you recognize that and say, okay, Yetzer Hara, I know your trick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proud of us that we're continuing to learn Torah in these moments, in these difficult times. And he's so proud of us that he wants to see, are we going to push through? Are we going to make the breakthrough? And that's where the Yetzer Hara comes in and focuses all of his armor and all of his energy and makes something inappropriate. Dafka there come. And if you're able to recognize it, that's the trick of the Yetzer Hara. And you say, okay, I'll move out of that inappropriate one and I'll find an appropriate one. Or maybe that one has been cancelled because of that thing happening. I'll go and listen to another shir online, which is nothing inappropriate, but I'm not stopping. I'm not saying, oh look, there, I tried and it didn't work, forget it. No, I'll go and listen to another shiur. I'll go and open another sefer. I'm going to push through because I see that learning Torah at this challenging time is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. This is exactly the test that Hashem is testing us now. And I'm going to push through. Dafka because the Yetzer Hara is attacking. Dafka! I'm going to show him that I care about learning Torah. And then you've won the war. You've used the Yetzer Hara as trying to stop you to come back even more powerfully and enter a new level. Show HaKadosh Baruch Hu your devotion through that level. Anyone can understand the Yetzer Hara is going to attack you specifically at that point which you can most reach Shleimus. You can reach the next level. And therefore, Rav Tzadok explains that in the area where a person has desire, when he sees that desire suddenly overwhelms him and suddenly overtakes him, he knows that that's dafka the area he has to invest in. That's the area where the brocha of Hashem. You see what now? You see, he heard it. He heard this idea and he's trying to disturb us so you won't hear it. But this idea is in the Medrash, and we're going to say it loudly. Vayikaraba Berek Kaf Aleph. That in the limb that a person sins with, he should use to do mitzvahs. The Medrash says that dafka in the area of your body that you've used for an avera, you have to in that area go and use it in an appropriate way for avodas Hashem. It's not just saying you used it wrong, so use it right. It's not just saying on a simple level, just try and fix it. It's saying something much deeper. It's not just saying midah connected midah, you did a bad thing, do a good thing, try and even it out. It's not saying that. Rather, much deeper. It's saying that if you saw that there was a particular area which you stumbled in, that was the Yetzer Hara's way of showing you that's your area of greatness. That's where you can become great. Don't just even out. But rather take that all the way. Make that your point that you're investing in. That area is where your soul is akin towards reaching a higher level. The source of this is Tzidkas Tzadik, which is one of the Svarim of Rav Tzadik of Lublin. Sif Memtet and Kuf Pe Alf. We've learned here an amazing principle. How do we relate to ourselves? When the Yetzer Hara attacks us, our natural tendency is to be embarrassed. To be embarrassed. Now, shame is appropriate, but it could also be used in an inappropriate way. If shame is limited specifically to the area which it attacked you in, and you use it in order to grow and build from, it's very appropriate. If a person sinned in a particular area and they're ashamed that they did that, and they focus just on that very particular thing, they say, that particular area doesn't mean the rest of me is affected, but that particular area that I sinned in, I'm ashamed of, and I feel the shame, and it's a good thing that I feel that shame. That's my way of recognizing that it was wrong and inappropriate. I'm aware of it. And then you learn how to do tshuva in particular that area. And in davening, you say, Chatati, Aviti, Pashati, I did this particular sin, I regret it, and I'm not going to do it again. And as long as you limit it to that particular area, you don't let it overflow to the rest of your persona and your attitude towards yourself, it's a very healthy shame. And it can build you. You can say, that was inappropriate within me, I'm upset with that, and I'm going to fix it. I'm aware of my faults. I'm glad that I'm aware of my faults. I'm glad that I feel ashamed of something wrong, so now I know what I have to fix. But it's productive. It's very productive. My shame leads to me fixing myself in that particular area. That's a healthy shame. We like that type of shame. We're looking for that type of shame. However, the Yetzer Hara, he tries to expand that shame to be not about your action that you did, but about your essence. It's not that you did a bad thing, it's you are bad. And when it spills over to the shame being you are worthless, then a person feels an existential guilt of who he is. Now, how can you fix that? Let's say someone comes to speak, right? And I say, how's everything going? And they go, not good. I say, well, what's not good? Everything. I go, so let's try and break it down. Like, what's going on? I feel like whatever I do just like fails. So if he carries on like this, then we're not going to get anywhere, right? So try and explain to me, like, what do you feel is like really bothering you? Everything I do, my learning, my davening, my friends, everything. So we're not getting far. Right? We're not going to achieve anything with this. So I say, give me an example today, if something that happened that made you feel bad. So he says, well, anything I would tell you is just like an example of like everything in my life. So why should I like try? It's like everything. So when you speak on those levels, right, you're not going to get anywhere because that's where the Yetzer Hara has succeeded in causing someone's shame of an action to spread out so greatly that he now feels his essence is worthless. And how do you fix that? So you have to revert it. You have to show why this you did well, this you did well, this you did well. And when you can prove to him he did a lot of things well, what will he say? He'll say, you're right, there has to be an exception to every rule. There has to be. It's okay, you're right, Rabbi, I did this good and this good and this good and everything else is bad. So you work a little more with him. you see some other examples of good things, and you say, well, you know, I'm starting to see patterns. That good thing together with that good thing together with that thing shows me that you have a trait which is a good trait. Look, this good trait expresses itself here and here and here and here. So would it be fair to say that you're a kind person? And he says, I guess. I wouldn't have thought of it, but yeah, I guess I am. Because look, they're one and they're two and they're three. Now, that was a tremendous breakthrough because there's not exceptions of a couple of kind things. But he's defining himself as a kind person. Now, we haven't made it all the way because he's still a terrible person in every other area. But kind person he is. So then you work a little further. What other examples? What about another area? And then you start seeing patterns in that area. And you say, so would you say that you're a devoted friend? I guess you could say that because look, here, here. And as you build and build and build and build, suddenly he starts to have a view of himself, not only as a kind person, but as a devoted friend. And then you start other examples. Would you say you're someone who sees things through? Like if you have a project, would you say you see it through? You know, I have like 6-7 examples where I can think of which you kind of brought out together with speaking with him. And now you're reverting what the Yetzer Hara started with, 1 or 2 examples of bad things, which became his entire personality. You're taking the reverse now. You're saying, look, I'll take examples and show you how those are examples of how you're good. And then what you eventually do is where you say, okay, so actually what's bad here? And you say, you know what's bad? This. Okay, that. Good. This is bad. I'm happy we were able to limit it and define specifically what's bad. Do you want to work on that? Yeah, I do. If we would work on that, would your life be good? No, but there's other bad things. What else is bad? Like, let's try and find it. And then he said, actually, no, you're right. Really, that's what it is. That one thing is basically what's clouding my whole view of myself. And if that would be fixed and that would be solved, I'm not sure. Maybe everything would be okay. Okay, maybe it's enough for me for now. I'm happy with it. We'll start with a maybe. Don't have to be perfect, you know, from the beginning. So you start working on that thing, and you give guidance and tools and skills about how to work on that particular area. And if he's serious about it and he wants to work on it, he starts seeing. And as that area becomes better, there comes this really funny stage where he says, Rabbi, like, yeah, I worked on that, but there's still, like, I don't know, I just feel like things aren't good. So you start going through, like, what's bad, and he can't tell you anything. He can't tell you anything. He's clinging on to this view that he had of himself of being bad, but now there's no evidence at all. So you say to him, I understand why you thought of yourself as bad at that stage, because it was overwhelming to you the feeling that that particular area which was bad was bad. But now that particular area is fixed, could you say that things are good now? He says, I guess I could. So why do I have this feeling that it's bad? So you say, because that was overwhelming to you how bad it was that time. But like, look at the facts now. Things are going well. Because you know what? Things are going well. This is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. Is there anything bad? What, Rabbi, you want me to look for something? No, it's fine. You don't have to look for anything. If it's like bad, tell me. We'll work on it. And that way you turn the whole thing around. The Yetzer Hara's goal is just to find a couple of negative points. Our Camellia's heel, if you like. You know, find that weak point that you have within you. And then knock you all down by making you feel that you're worthless. But once you're aware that's his trick, we've learned a tremendous principle today. When the Yetzer Hara attacks us, there is a shame which is a good shame. But keep it in its limits. Keep the shame limited to the specific area that it's in, so that you can work on it. Don't let it spill over to other areas. Bad is not your essence. When you meet bad in a particular area, you've been shown a particular area that you need to work on. But your essence remains good, remains high, remains lofty. When it awakens within us some low desire that we have, our goal is to overcome that particular area, to return to that high, lofty place of where we were. Fantastic. That could be one of the most important things you ever hear in life. That could be the turning point of how you view yourself. And it could be your whole life will go on a new trajectory of I view myself in a positive way and everything is working for me. Obviously, it takes work. We just defined a pattern right now. It takes work. But recognizing what the pattern is, that's transformative. Okay, one more paragraph and then we'll stop there. We'll finish the whole paragraph, chapter. When the Yetzer Hara shows you something which is inappropriate, you should view it as an invitation. An invitation? You see, you like that line? An invitation. When the Yetzer Hara shows you something inappropriate, you should see it as an invitation. Thank you for pointing out an area that I need to work on. Shkoyach. He's my friend, the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara's my friend. Because I'm biased, you know? I like to think of myself as perfect. When the Yetzer Hara shows me a particular area that I need to work on, he was doing me a service. So the way that you can view the Yetzer Hara is someone who's showing you an area you can work on. You can view him as your partner in Avodas Hashem. He'll point out the areas that you... It's a little bit like if you go to have your car fixed. So if he finds nothing wrong with your car, that's not good. Because you're going to be in the middle of the highway and the car's going to break down. You want him to find what's wrong with your car so you can go and fix it. If someone, chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, is having symptoms, they don't know what it's for. The worst thing is they don't know what their sickness is. They're very happy when the doctor tells them it's this particular area and this is the medicine you need to take. Thank you. Thank you. Now I can start working on it. The Yetzer Hara is your friend. The Yetzer Hara is your partner. He's enabling you to see the specifically the areas that you need to work on. Inyan haruchani hatzarich takana. He's your spiritual partner that shows you the areas that you need to work on. And then he gives the example that if you're in the middle of learning and out of nowhere comes this enormous Yetzer Hara that just quickly run out the base medicine, you can't explain why. And your Yetzer Hara was your partner showing you, you need to be a must-be now. And if you invest in your learning now, you're going to reach great, great heights. Because the Yetzer Hara is trying to push you out of the base medrash. Why is he trying to push you out? Because he sees you're doing well. He sees you're doing good things. He's trying to push you out. Ah, thank you, Yetzer Hara. I appreciate it. You want me to suddenly run out for no logical reason? Okay, I'm going to invest in this rush even harder. And you invest and you make a breakthrough. And it's only because of the Yetzer Hara that you made that breakthrough. Because you wouldn't have pushed as hard if you wouldn't have had that thought of running away from the base medrash. So he gave you that gift of investing even more in it. So how do you overcome it? You have to do a little deal. You have to recognize the Yetzer Hara. You have to understand his trick. You have to speak back to him and say, oh, that's what you think I should do. I understand where you're coming from. You're a salesman. You're doing your job very well. Shkoyach. Thank you. You're doing your job well. You're inviting me to invest more. I appreciate what you're trying to do. And I'll go and invest more. Dafka in that area that you didn't want me to. And that's a way that a person can reach a great height in a decision. This perek is worth reviewing many, many times. It's the fifth perek of Alei Shor. Learn it again yourselves. Learn it in chavrusas. Teach it to your chanechim. Teach it to your children. Teach it to anyone you could meet. Because this could be a life-transforming lesson in Avodas Hashem that could stop many people from falling by the wayside in their learning and in their spiritual growth. Recognition of this trick of the Yetzer Hara and how to overcome it will be your path to success in the future. Yishar Koach.
David, huh?
Isn't it true that you never know about the Yetzer Hara until it exists?
No. What do you mean? We just showed you the